All right, we are here. We are Galexis. And welcome. Welcome. In honor of Valentine's Day, we speak to you on Lovecraft. The craft of loving. Now, craft is normally a Wiccan or witch's term. The craft. It, as a system of work, the craft is a body of spells, rituals, incantations that work primarily on the unconscious mind's level. It works in the depths of the psyche. And so what we are going to do today is we're going to speak to your conscious mind. We're going to work with your subconscious mind. And we're going to invoke the great awakening of love through your unconscious mind. Now, when you look at love, a great love, a wondrous love, a beautiful love, what does that do to your heart? What do you feel? What do you desire? What do you wish to experience? Now, everyone wants love. Everyone desires love. Love is the craving, in a sense, for home, for the divine from whence you have come, and the divine to which you shall return. You're on a journey in physical plane reality. And here you see the reflections of yourself in what is known by most metaphysicians as the illusion, three-dimensional physical reality, the great illusion. You came to play in the illusion. You came to pretend that you didn't know who you were, to rediscover it, the delight of discovery, and to create and imagine realities from scratch. If you had remembered who you were, you would be filled continuously with exquisite, ecstatic divine love and presence. And of course, the realities that you would have created would have been magnificent and utterly loving and brilliant. However, you wanted to explore possibility. You wanted to explore everything. You wanted to explore every little piece of reality. It was a free will choice. And so you discovered the darkness. You discovered various pieces of that divine love and presence broken down into smaller and smaller fragments and then twisted and distorted in many unusual ways. You explored the depth of pain and sorrow, loneliness and separation. Now, you may not feel that you've hit those rock-bottom depths in this particular lifetime, or perhaps you have. But you have, in your excursion through many experiences, lifetimes, as well as imprints of physical plane life. And you have chosen to be incarnated at this particular time, in this particular space, in order to pursue your homeward journey consciously. Conscious choice, free-willed choice made from the conscious mind. And that conscious mind seeks the divine love. You want to also bring along, in unity with this conscious mind, the habitual patterns of the subconscious, its routines, its habits, its limitations, its structures. You want to bring that along. You want to heal that and bring that into the same frequency as your conscious choice, as your conscious awareness of love and of where you're going. And you also want to enable your unconscious mind to be in alignment with you, to be in congruence with the divine love. For if you can get the three lined up, you have a unity, you have a union within yourself. Now your soul and your spirit, two parts of you, very different, but blending in this lifetime, work on all three levels with you, conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. In the unconscious mind are the memories of other lifetimes, of other experiences, the deep woundings, the traumas, physical, emotional, mental, that you've encountered. And these must be lifted, healed, touched. They may not disappear. But you see, also in your unconscious mind, are the awarenesses of all the grandest powers, beauties, strengths that you can have, as well as the link from beyond human experience into your divine, the homeward bound journey, the link between you and God, Goddess, all that it is. It lies there, waiting for you to touch it. Love is the substance of which everything is made, because love is God, God is love, and everything is made of the same substance. Now people call it light, perhaps people call it frequency, energy. It's all the same. The matter of the physical plane is captured light. It's captured love. Love is the essence of the divine. If you were to put a finger on what is the most divine of the divine of the divine, what is the absolutely core essential aspect of the divine, it would be love. And therefore, on your homeward journey, on your longing, on your yearning to be reunited with your divineness, love is the path. Love is the way. So you've been desiring the great love. The great love. That love which is boundless. That love which is unconditionally accepting. That love which is lifting you to the awareness of yourself as God too. The peace, the particle, the light of God that you are. And as you come into incarnation in this particular lifetime, you experience various pieces of that journey through the unconscious, through the subconscious, and to the conscious mind. All with that intention of following the path of love, to seek the love, to seek that great love that is home, that is the connection, that is the reminder of who you are. You chose to forget who you were, and you chose to remember piece by piece, going around looking for the truth, discovering, exploring, having adventures, imagining and dreaming and playing with the stuff of matter. We have spoken in many workshops on ways to work with that matter. Today we speak about your needs, because you want to shape this matter, this illusion, this substance out here, to fulfill your needs. And the greatest need, the most important and pivotal need that you have, is for love. And not just some love, not just a particle or a piece of it. Oh yes, sometimes you've settled for that. But you are looking for the great love, for the magnificent love. Today we will call the great love in ritual to you. You will call it. You will receive it to the extent that you are ready. There were certain ways to prepare, and there are certain things to look out to make sure that your journey there works, that you can step into that great love, that you can bring it into your life and not just draw it to you, but also hold it present and be in it moment by moment, day by day, and sustain it and expand your awareness of it. So first you want to look out in this discovery, in this exploration towards the great love, what it is that you wish from a relationship of love. Now, when you are a human being and you create this illusion, you've created a lot of other people in this reality with you. The opportunity of working with, being with, loving and caring for, giving and receiving with other people gives you the opportunity to discover who you are, number one, and two, to learn how to love, learn how to apply to your everyday life the law of love, the ways of love, to explore and play with it, to awaken it within you, to awaken that light of it. So it is indeed in a relationship. Most people call it a love relationship. Most of the time it is a romantic oriented one. But you can also love divinely, you can love completely, you can experience the great love in a non-romantic relationship as well. You can experience one with a beautiful, wondrous friend, with a parent, or with a child. You can experience a great love with a stranger. If you teach with a student, or a client, or with a teacher. You can see love in any action. Any circumstance in your life. You can find love with your pets, with animals, with the other creatures that share this planet with you. You can love the little animals. You can love the birds. You can love the whales. You can love the wolves. You can love nature and her beauty. You can love plants tenderly, caring for them. But it's in the human love, in the human realm, that you do your greatest work, where you get the feedback that really hones your skills, your capacities, your abilities to love and to receive love. So what is it that you want? What is it that you look for in a grand love relationship? Now, you may be single, or you may be already mated. It doesn't matter which you are. When you call the great love to you, if you are single, it can call a special human being into your life to share your life with, to work with, to explore love together. if you're already mated, paired off, married, committed, then your love can be renewed, expanded, regenerated, strengthened, regardless of which way or from which direction that you come, seeking that great love, seeking that love within another person. The truth is that what you are looking for is the divine love, and you're really seeking, because everything is a reflection of you, the divine love in you. You are seeking your own light. You're seeking your own love. And you're doing it so wonderfully and so beautifully by these glorious beings you've manifested into your sphere of influence in a physical plane reality. To play with, to explore. Now, we're not talking ego. We're not talking a sense of, you know, self-love that people see as more narcissism. We're not talking that kind of love you are looking for within yourself. The ego love and the narcissistic love are actually adaptations to the feeling of not being valuable or worthy or lovable enough. They're adaptations. You don't need to look at receiving love and giving love from that standpoint. The narcissist will control other people to make them love him or her. The ego person will pretend to love, put on a show of love in order to get love, but may not know how to give it. What you are looking for is how to give love, to receive love, and to experience the divine. Now, as you grow in your life, through childhood, through adolescence, as you enter the adult world in your early 20s, to explore and to find who you are in your life, on your own, not as the child of your parents, but as your own very well-developed personal being, individual, self-reliant. You seek that love. If you're on a spiritual journey, you seek to become a true adult. And more than the true adult, the one who is mature, the one who is capable of understanding, mature and responsible and loving adult behavior, you wish to even go beyond that to the spiritual adult, to the luminous human. This is what you're evolving yourself into. And this luminous you, this spiritual adult, is the you who knows who you are and is expanding that knowing, who sees the divine in everyone, whether it's a very intimate personal relationship or not, who sees the divine and sees the unity of it all, sees the divine with him or herself within, and sees the union of self within. You see, if you were in your spiritual adult completely, there would be no inner conflicts. You would be in unity, in union, in oneness of yourself. You would feel that oneness. But there are conflicting parts of you that want different things from a relationship, that want those pieces, those little distorted, twisted pieces, have little agendas to run. And so, in your journey to become that spiritual adult, the luminous human, you must understand these other parts and what they are wanting from a relationship so that you can integrate and become one and whole in your intentions. So you can step into and claim that spiritual you. Now, when you were a child, what kind of love did you want? You wanted to feel safe. You wanted to feel nurtured. You wanted to be accepted and taken care of. You might have been criticized, judged. You may have felt that you didn't get enough love. You may feel lacking of love. And if so, the part of you that never got the complete safety, the complete love of childhood, that wonderful feeling of just being held in the bliss, not being responsible for any particular action, may have had to suffer tremendous amounts of pressure, loneliness, separation, and pain. And may still be yearning to be taken care of, yearning to be held, to be loved, to be safe. Yearning to find someone who would not criticize you, who would not dominate you, swallow you up, control you, manipulate you, pressure you to perform, to please. You see, the childhood experience is that of powerlessness. When you're a child, you just don't have the power. You don't have the self-reliance. You can't make your own decisions. And so from that perspective, you look for the need to be safe. This need is still within you. And to whatever extent you have either healed your childhood situation or not, the inner child in you is still yearning for that safety, that sense of security. There's a needy, clingy quality. If you've ever been in a relationship and you've been clingy and needy, or you've had a relationship and where the other person was clinging and needy, that's the child activation in a relationship. It does not contribute to truly feeling safe and secure. It doesn't really contribute to you being able to hold that level of light of the luminous human. And so you might resist having a relationship for fear that you will be criticized, separated, judged, controlled, manipulated, swallowed up, overwhelmed by the other. You need to be aware of what that self is yearning for, is looking for. Now, when you became an adolescent somewhere around 11 or a little later, into perhaps your late teens, that period, your teen years, when your hormones woke up, part of the program of your instinct, of your biology, is this is the time to mate. This is the time to look for partnerships. This is the time to enter your world. Your view became larger. You were looking not just for safety, but you were looking to be validated, to be approved of, to be admired, respected. You are looking for passion. You are looking for sex. You are looking for sensual body experiences. Your body was waking up. I want love. I want to feel love in my body. The notions of romantic love came to you through the media, through books and movies and so forth. And so when you became an adolescent, when you became a teenager, you began to have kind of fantasy images about what love was, that what that romantic love was, or what sexual passion love was, what it looked like, what it would be like. Tremendous motivation for it. Your biological urges, very strong. You could not deny them. You couldn't forget that they were there. But for so many of you, your opportunity for a powerful, sexual, sensual, passionate relationship did not present itself. But you were able to spend time in fantasy about it, to imagine what it could be, and you and your friends talked about it, whispered about it, discussed it, perhaps had guilt about it, there was shame about it, lots of fear, lots of restrictions. But that adolescent in you, even now, is yearning. Yearning to belong. Yearning to be included. Yearning to be bonded one-on-one in a strong, powerful, sexual, passionate, glorious, wow, you know, firecrackers going off every time you get to you kiss, every time you touch, every time you have sex. That yearning for the image of the perfect relationship, the perfect person, the ideal. But there was also damage done then. There was also trauma experienced. And in that trauma, you felt hurt and pain and rejection and loss and loneliness and separation and guilt and perhaps even shame and disgust and sorrow. You did the wrong things and you failed and lots of issues around that. You didn't find a perfect person. Indeed, you look in the mirror and you went, yuck, you know, or whatever. Said, oh gosh, I should be the perfect person. But there's something wrong with me. I don't have the perfect nose or the bright ears or my hair just never, or I've got too many pounds or I'm too skinny or something. Something's wrong. The critical self-analysis began. That you had to be perfect, that somehow or another you had to pretend to be whoever it was that was the dream person of somebody else. And hopefully you would find the dream person and be able to live at that level of passion and excitement. So when you're yearning for love, yearning and yearning and yearning for love, there's also resistance. There's a fear, oh gosh, if I get somebody, I'm going to lose them. And that's too painful to bear. Or they may reject me. Oh gosh, how can I handle that? Or I'm going to have to be the special person. I'm going to have to be better looking than I am. I have to really perform in bed. I've got to do this. I got to do that. Or they won't like me. Or they won't stay with me. And I've got to find the perfect person. I've got to find the ideal so I can be sure, so I can be, hold on, so I won't lose them, so that I know for sure this is the right one. It's got to be the right one. So there's fear. What if it isn't? What if you make a mistake? What if you make a wrong choice? What if you mess up? What if in that relationship it requires, you know, too much? What if it's beyond you and you can't keep up? So there's resistance from the inner adolescent. Now, as you went into the latter years of your teen years and into your early 20s, that period of the young adult, still inexperienced about life, still living in fantasy land, still assuming that you know, supposed to know everything, or that you do know everything, or somehow or another you've got to have all the answers. You got to look really good. You got to hold the image. Then you began dreaming of your soulmate. What do you want there? You want the perfect form. You want the right good-looking person. Yes, the body's got to be right. The house, the car, all the trappings of success need to be there. There's got to be a lot of success. There's got to be a lot of, you know, a financial abundance. There's got to be a lot of, you know, beauty. There's got to be, you know, good clothes, good adventures, good, you got to be able to travel and do this and that and the other. If you're going to find a lover, you've got to find someone you can travel with if that's what you really desire. You have an interest. You want to pursue. You want to do it this way. You want this life to look like this. It's got to be fulfilled and unfolding like this, and that person's got to fit in, and it's the two of you against the world, and it's the two of you gonna, you know, go and do this marvelous thing. You're gonna work together. You're gonna fulfill your mission together. You're going to find that perfect person. It's like the adolescent fantasy, but of course, with so many more potential factors put in there. But again, there's also the fear. You're going to have to really be able to hold your own. You're going to have to look really successful. You're going to have to be really have a lot of value. Or you're going to have to serve this person. You're going to have to persuade this person that you're valuable and worth keeping. Here's where you get into strange dances of relationships. The push-pull, the person where you get, the closer you get, all of a sudden, you know, the other one pulls away. Or when they start to get close to you, oh, oops, ooh, ow, the intimacy, the fear of the intimacy, because what might happen if there's intimacy? They might see my secrets. They might see my weaknesses. They might see what's not right about me. I've got to hide that. I can't let them see it. I could be hurt. I could be humiliated. I could be devastated in front of everybody. So, of course, a young adult relationship is challenging because you don't really know the rules yet. You really don't know how to do it from a mature position, how to love from a mature place. You still don't know who you are. You're just beginning to discover who you can be in the world, much less knowing that you are divine. So you can have resistance from the you that's still that 20-something looking for the perfect trappings, looking for the perfect design, looking for the perfect relationship that looks right. If we have it that looks right, if the form of it looks right, then somehow or another it will be right. Almost in a sense, we can skip some of the messy part where we'll have arguments and pain and so, and blah, 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 and we'll get over to the really good part where we live happily ever after. And of course, you know, instinctively within you, that doesn't work either. So it's a fear of the intensity of your emotions and the intensity of theirs. And then, as you get on your spiritual path, as you begin to understand more of who you are psychologically, you come into your adult self, mature, being able to see a relationship as the companionship. Oh yeah, there can be wonderful sensualness, the sexuality, there can be some passion in there and so on. But the unfoldment of that, you begin to look at what the unfoldment of it means as a person that you share a life with. Now sometimes the young adult within you will fear that if you going to get or manifest this great love, you'll have to give up something. There's a price to pay. And you as an adult realizes, no, there's not a price to pay. You don't have to give up your interest. You don't have to give up your career. You don't have to drop everything and go and support that person. Or you don't have to be the one who takes care of that person. You don't have to be the teacher, the guide. You're not looking for someone to take charge of all the finances so that you can go off and do your creative thing or your spiritual thing. You know better than that. That's a reflection from the child. If I just find somebody who will take care of me financially, I could be so happy and we could have such a nice time. I could be myself. The adult knows that's not going to work and is looking for a companion, someone to share life with. There may still be a flicker of hope. I'll find the soulmate. I'll find the partner to the mission. I find that person that will just glue together and do everything together and travel the world together. Well, there's still to me some of that flash from the adolescent and the young adult. Some of that craving of security from the child. But the adult knows that you've got to establish safety in a relationship on the emotional level. You've got to be emotionally present. You've got to be emotionally up to date. You can't just hide. You can't just ignore. You can't just avoid emotion and feelings. You can't just keep your mouth shut and be on good behavior. You, as an adult, you know it doesn't work. But sometimes it's hard to even imagine or dream a relationship in which you don't have those situations presented to you, where you could have an interaction with someone from such a loving place that you don't have to go into the judgment, you don't have to fight, you don't have to, or if you fight, you fight fair. It's a win-win. But a place where you can be yourself, where you can express what you feel and what you think. And it's safe for you to do so. Sometimes it's hard for you to imagine a relationship like that. Because you go and you'll find people, you may date and so on. And it's like, what's going on here? It seems like I still have to be in good behavior. I still have to look good and dance and so on. Maybe there's still parts of me that I just can't seem to find that connection or be attractive to that potential mate. There can be also the fears of being, from the child, being swallowed up, pressured, demanded, controlled, manipulated. There can be the fear of the codependency so rampant in your culture, the codependency where there's rules and you have to follow the rules and keep your mouth shut, where you have to focus on helping the other person or helping them through their problem, or where you deal with somebody, you being the problem, being possessive and clingy, or the other person being possessive and clingy and not feeling free to move about and have friends and have other things other than and just the relationship. There's all these concerns when you're an adult because you've seen so much. You're so wise. You know what's out there. At some point, it's very often you may give up. Well, maybe I won't experience the great love. Maybe it won't come to me. Maybe I won't be able to have it. Maybe there's no potential mate who's willing to grow with me, who's willing to be with me, who's willing to accept my imperfections and that I can accept theirs and we can just, you know, enjoy each other. Maybe there's nobody like that. Or if you're already in a relationship, in a marriage or something, like, well, you know, it's kind of gone flat. Or it's kind of floating along on habit. I don't see that my partner could change. I don't see where we could go with this. I don't see how we could awaken it. how we could make something new. There's been so much water under the bridge now. This is who I expect this mate, my mate to be, and how I expect them to respond and act and do and stuff like that. I just can't imagine what it'd be like if they weren't like that. If we could actually lift to that great love at this point. Or maybe you have a wonderful, loving relationship. And you're saying, is it possible to have more? I feel so lucky I've gotten this far. My friends are jealous. And I know I've got everything right. It all looks good. It feels good. It's really nice. Is there really more in a human body? And we'd like to say yes, yes, and yes. It's all possible. It's all there. It's all waiting for you to step into your spiritual adult, to claim the light that you are, to call the great love in. Now, as we said, we're going to, in ritual, call the great love later today. Now, there are certain things to do to prepare for the great love. Right? There's the first step. There's four steps that we put together. Four foundations of preparation. And the first one is to clear yourself. Is to realize that, you know, it's not really been your partner, perhaps, or various partners who are being the problem. You also were part of it as well. Not to beat yourself up or criticize or judge yourself or, you know, or be, you know, just angry and critical at yourself. That leads nowhere, and you've discovered that by now. But for you to forgive yourself for the mistakes you have made in relationships. And to realize that as a spiritual being in this illusion, that every relationship that you've had where you have sought the great love, whether it's a romantic one or one with your family or one with a friend or with a teacher, or guide on this, a physical person, regardless of who it was, that their responses to you, what they were giving to you, was a reflection, a mirror held up to the light you owned in yourself. And if they always expected you to change, to be different, or to keep your mouth shut and not object, to be on good behavior, to take care of them, or whatever else there is that seemed to be part of it in the past, that this was a reflection of you. If you felt you had to change, then it was a judgment of you that you gave them to give you the message, hey, dear one, you don't think highly enough of yourself. You don't value yourself enough to allow yourself to be comfortable with who you are and to feel lovable and worthwhile. You're not giving yourself enough support, enough care. They're asking you to sacrifice something you love for them or did. And what was that reflection? Again, that who you were and what you loved and what you valued isn't valuable enough. It's not as valuable as getting that little piece of validation or that little piece of attention from them. Your needs unresolved, unfulfilled, being reflected back to you this way. So this first step is for you to look back at relationships you've had, or if you're in one now, at the past in this one, and looked at where you had disagreements, where you had conflicts, where did you judge them? Where did you judge yourself? Where did you not fight fair? Where did you try to manipulate or control their behavior? Where did you try to make them and shape them into the perfect fantasy person for you? Where did you try to do those things, which in essence are somewhat disrespectful of their light, to try to make them change, to make them be something different? Okay, we're going to grow you up. We have to evolve you so we can have a good time here. We're going to have to make sure you get a good job so we have more money in the relationship. We're going to have to make sure that you handle that, that you stop smoking, and that you handle that food addiction or whatever other problem that you have. We've got to fix you. We've got to make sure you're okay. You know, we've got to put you together. Then we'll have a good relationship. Where did you fall into that one? That was basically you begging the universe, hey, universe, please manifest for me somebody to reflect back to me all this information, all this awareness, so that I can stop doing that. So I can go beyond, so I can heal and lift myself. Forgive yourself. You made mistakes. You took that feedback and didn't use it powerfully for yourself. You kept yourself in a powerless state sometimes, giving your power away to the other person, letting them set the tone, set the resonance, so that if there was a mistake made, hey, you could blame them. You actually did that. Yeah, you were immature. But you're not going to do it anymore. You want to make a choice. You're not going to do that anymore. You're going to take that feedback. And you're going to keep reminding yourself, oh, here's where I start throwing my power away. Oh, here's where I tend to keep my mouth shut and try to keep out of trouble. Oh, here's where I start to feel pressure and demand to be this way or that way. How am I going to respond differently this time? How am I going to be different? I forgive myself for what I've done in the past. And I choose to step into my light and claim more of who I am. To feel safe, to be me. I make a commitment to me. I'll be me, the light being. And yeah, I may still make a mistake or two, but I will learn from it. In a loving way. And I will learn how to love, really love. Whatever they do, I will still be able to love. You know, the old saying, it's better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all. And that's for sure. Because if you love and lose, you have the opportunity to learn how to generate the vibration, the energies of love in your life. To learn from your mistakes. If you don't have any relationships, sometimes it's difficult to learn from your mistakes because, hey, you know, avoiding a relationship is a wonderful way not to make a mistake. But then you don't get the wonderful opportunities either. So first is to clear you. To clear your child needs. What are you looking for? Safety, security? To clear your adolescent needs. Oh, this romantic fantasy, yearning, longing. Oh, gosh, I want somebody so bad. Or your young adult. Oh, it's got to be this great dream. It's got to be like this. It's got to look like that. I've got to be like this. I've got to be like that. To clear those in you. To let that old yearning go, that old longing, that incompleted need to give that fulfillment to you, to yourself, in meditation, in any kind of way that you can, with other people, to allow yourself to actually receive, to allow yourself to feel safe, to take a few little risks there, just to let yourself be there, to be okay with who you are. You got to let it go, those old needs, because they're going to just twist and distort the energies of the great love. They will call to you someone who will reflect, hey, you haven't finished here. The spiritual adult will call someone to reflect the divine in them. And the spiritual adult can see the divine in the other. And they can love the light. And the physical, mundane details can be worked out lovingly, negotiated in a win-win situation, and with care and gentleness and kindness and respect. The second step, once you have forgiven yourself and made your choice to be the light being, is to clear the baggage from other relationships you've had. Yes, you have acknowledged what you've done in that. Now, look at what you blame the others for. Any pain that's left, any unresolved stuff, any longing after some person, some wistful, oh, I wish that person were still in my life. They may have died. You may have had to go through mourning. It's time to complete that. Or they may have just left you for someone else in a shocking sense of betrayal and a rip and a tear in your emotional life. It needs to be healed now. Those need to be forgiven. Those people need to be forgiven if you haven't done so already. All those people. And that's not just love relationship oriented people. That can be parents. That can be children. It can be teachers. It can be students. It can be anybody. To forgive. To forgive. To let all the old relationships go, so you're not holding on to any residual wishes to fulfill from the old relationship. Let that past actually be gone. To let it go. Because if you don't deliberately and consciously do this, you will project it. You will take the unfinished business there and just put it back into the future. So when you call something to you, you will call the same kind of person that you had trouble with before. But when you forgive them and really let them go, and if you are mated and in a relationship now, to really forgive your partner, to really forgive him or her, to really let that person off the hook. They don't have to fulfill your fantasy anymore. They don't have to fulfill all your needs. They're never going to be perfect. You can forgive them. You can let it all go. Let the past go to this point in your relationship, to let it all be done, to forgive so completely that it's like a blank slate between you and your mate, and where you can start all over to begin again from scratch, to rebuild the love and the safety and the trust, to rebuild your skills so you can fight fair, so you can disagree and come out with a win-win solution for yourselves. Or even if there's not a win-win possible because you're in such a different belief system or headspace about something, at least to be heard, to hear your mate and be heard by your mate. To allow that that is possible with your very partner, whom you possibly have judged and criticized and been disappointed in, or have maybe at times even felt you made the wrong choice and you're stuck, and you feel imprisoned. All of that can be healed, potentially. Now, we're not saying that you can change your person into that perfect person. No, but you will change you into a light being, into a loving person, which will create safety for both of you, which will create an openness, a kindness for both of you, which can allow respect for both of you and healing for both of you. The old saying, it takes two to tango. Absolutely. Any problematic relationships you've had or any problems you've had in your relationship in the past, it took both of you to do it. You worked in concert, in agreement, twisted and distorted, yes, but in concert. As you step out of it yourself and as you forgive them and clear your expectations and assumptions and judgments of them, either your relationships or your past or your current mate, you will find that you will be free of your baggage of the past. You will feel lighter. You will feel more comfortable. It will be forgiven. It will be clean. It will be clear. You will feel that you can start over again. Now, you're creating a three-dimensional reality. We're going to do four dimensions today because the ritual is a fourth-dimensional ritual. It calls through time and space. But when you clear yourself, that's length. When you clear the past, that's width. Step three, or the third piece, is the depth. This is where you redream. This is where you start to imagine. From the place where you are cleared, at number one, cleared of you. Number two, cleared of others. From this clear place, you reimagine what a mature, spiritual, loving relationship could be. You imagine what you do in circumstances of disagreement or anger or fear or under circumstances of change, external changes. What do you do? How do you respond? How do you react and respond to your mate? How can you imagine yourself making it safe for them to be themselves? Imagine you being able to negotiate your life in a loving way. To wish the very, very best for your mate, for your partner in love, regardless if that's what you perceive is best for you or not. To put their happiness and their joy as really as number one. Now, we're not saying what this means is if you put them at number one, that your number two is going to be pathetic, that you are going to have to be the doormat. No. To imagine yourself loving them enough to let them be themselves. As you're allowing the feedback to come back to you of the light being that you are, loving who you are and being free to be yourself, it'll be natural. You're not to give up anything. There's no price to pay. Imagine a relationship in where there's no price to pay. Imagine waking up in the morning and knowing the love is there, feeling safe and secure, trusting the other, anticipating the love. Imagine anticipating that you're going to have a disagreement and you'll work out the disagreement in such a way that you'll have more love for each other afterwards. Imagine that you're staying emotionally current with your partner, that you don't have to ignore, discount, dismiss, deny, reject, pretend it's not there, those emotions. That you can express yourself and that you're capable of expressing how you feel in a way that doesn't tick them off, that doesn't anger them, that doesn't irritate them, that doesn't basically signal a conflict, a signal a fight, i.e. with no judgment. How can you tell them that you disagree in a way that's loving, that doesn't kickstart an issue. Imagine yourself doing that. Imagine them responding to you in such a way that the two of you are able to feel safe, even in the most strange circumstances, strained and stressed situations. Imagine how a healthy relationship. Imagine them appreciating and being themselves more. Imagine you appreciating and being yourself more. Imagine sharing your journey with them. Now, this doesn't mean that they have to, in the form, share your specific interest, share your particular life, directions, your work, your generosity, like, for example, you like to be a volunteer someplace. They don't have to volunteer too. They have their own stuff. But the love and the acceptance and the freedom between the two of you, imagine what that could feel like. Imagine what being free in a relationship means. Imagine being in a relationship in which both of you enjoy each other as equals in the light. That they wish the best for you and you wish the best for them and you assume it and you know it. That's just the basis of your day-to-day relationship. So number three is the imagining, is the dreaming of a healthy, clean relationship. You see, in the past, all those relationships in the past, yeah, you were acting out of your child or out of your adolescent mentality. And they were too. And you may be stepping into your light being, and your partner, if you're in a mated relationship already, may still be acting out a child or adolescent. But think about this. If you act out of spiritual adult, knowing that it takes two to tango, yes? What's going to happen with them? You're not doing it to change them, i.e. the intention of manipulation and control. You're doing it to be happy in you, to love and enjoy you, right? To experience the great love in you. And hopefully they all could share in it. They'll change. They'll shift. When you're offered love and safety, it changes you. When you offer it to yourself, it changes you. It makes you more, expands your life. If you offer it to someone else, it changes them. You touch them. It heals. The love heals. They may not have the same level of detailed conscious awareness of stuff as you do, but they can lift, they can heal, they can be free too. You can take the pressure off of both of you. And number four, the fourth step of preparation is to continue to claim in your day-to-day life the future you intend to be. Now, you cleared to the present in step one. But at this point, once you get this idea of a relationship that's healthy, then you can come back to looking at yourself and saying, okay, in a healthy relationship, I have the freedom to be myself, and who am I? And what kind of being am I? How do I celebrate my life? How do I present my energy? What kind of temperament? What kind of being am I? Am I an adventurous person? Am I a person who loves to move? Do I love to dance? Do I love to play? Am I studious? I love to focus and meditate and do research. I love to be up at the lofty concepts. Or I love to be out digging in the garden, in the dirt. What's natural to me? Let me live my life now as me. And this is whether you're single or in a relationship. You begin living your life as you, in the fullness of you. If you don't have a mate, then expand your love to your friends. Work this magic with them. Lift them. If you have family members who may not understand a bit about what you're into and who you are, as a loving light being, you can give them the freedom to be themselves as well, in a very loving way, with safety. They'll come around. They'll be okay. They know they won't understand you. Some of them may, but that was not their function in your life, was to understand you. You didn't come into your life so that your parents would understand you and make everything perfect in your childhood. Because you came to heal some big glass piece, to blaze a trail through something, and you had to go into the darkness and find it and experience it. So many of you have found that the dark experiences of your childhood, of your youth, of your young adulthood or whatever, have given you the compassion for others who've had to go through that as well. And it's been a pivotal part of your work, of your life. Don't try to make people understand you. Just love them as they are. Because if you try to make them understand you, you're trying to change them. That's not fair to them. That's not respectful to them. Love them. Create safety for them to love you. Let yourself flood the love out from that place of you being the light being. Because you see, when you claim your spiritual you, when you claim the future that you see yourself as becoming, this whole, this light, this oneness, this blazing being, when you claim that, you're safe. You see, you're creating it all, and it's all a reflection. So technically, from a reality consciousness point of view, you're never unsafe. Never. Why? Because you're always the creator or co-creator of your own reality. You can always change things. You can make choices. You're not powerless like you were when you were a child. You're safe. When you know that, you can walk through, oh gosh, you can walk at night through Chicago's South Side and not be touched. Or any other dangerous, quote-unquote, slum, filled with rampant crime and drug addicts on people running around and just shooting people. It won't touch you. Why? Because it doesn't vibe on your frequency. If you don't feel safe, you can attract unsafety. If you do own who you are and realize you're powerful, you will feel safe. Now, from this perspective, you will attract and draw to yourself the level person to have this beautiful, great love. If you're in a relationship already, you will lift that relationship up. Now, there is a risk in that, in a sense, that your partner may not lift up with you. Your great love may be your own. You may be finding it with friends and not with your husband or your mate. And indeed, it may mean at some point that you separate and go your separate ways. But know if that happens, it happens in a lovingly and natural unfoldment, giving you the opportunity to create something greater for you and for them. Unwounded, feeling in a sense loved and okay about themselves, that they can go on and create something good for them too. And it can be the best for both of you in that case. This is where you hold the light. And this light is a place from which you call forth the great love. Your spiritual adult platform of self. Now, what happens is that when you do this, when you go through these four steps of preparation, it's such a piece of work. Yeah, you can go through it in a day or two. You can. It doesn't take that long to do. Don't think of it as some arduous task that you have to go and dig and dig and go through cycles. And blah, 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 blah. You can go through it in a short period of time and feel the change in yourself. And often, you don't even have to call the great love. That by doing that, everything starts to change. Many people, once they do that, bang, a relationship shows up. Things start to happen. Reality, your universe, starts to percolate and just pull things into you at this new frequency, at this new level. And also, you'll find that when things come in, that you're going to have a test. If you're single and you suddenly are attracting people, and you're suddenly having relationships and dating and so on. Or if you're in a relationship and your partner is starting to shift and starting to change, you'll have a test. A test of your reality will say, are you sure you want to make this change? Are you sure you want to be this light being? Are you sure? Because here's the old pattern. Okay, isn't this what you want? That's your subconscious speaking. We want it to be consistent. Everything's going to be, it's the same thing, same old thing. And your ego's going to say, oh, you can't change anything. It's going to be the same old, same old. Is that what you want? You're going to be tested and you're going to have to say, no, I don't want that. You don't go there into powerlessness. You stay in your light. Because if you go into powerlessness, you'll say, oh, I did all that work and everything, and look what came to me. Oh, this is showing me I never did. I didn't make the change. It's not happening. That's powerless. That's child response. And you go into despair. Oh, no, what did I do? Adolescent response. But adult and spiritual adult can say, well, I'm not going to go into that pattern again. I've dealt with that pattern. I have this new choice. I'm just going to go back and reinforce that and reinforce it. Just kind of remember it, reinforce it, reinforce it. That's what hypnosis does. You know, it kind of anchors in and reinforces the new energy in there so that you can change your subconscious into bringing you something that's more in alignment with what you have desired and chosen. Now, very briefly, we're just going to go down a list. How to tell if a person is right for you. Is the person mature? Person capable of having a discussion of thinking and feeling and exploring something? Is the person capable of your anger, of hearing you? Capable of listening to you? Or do they just kind of blindly react and refuse to listen? Do they deny or discount or ignore their feelings and shut themselves down and withdraw and not speak with you? And you feel guilty, like you have to make some kind of shift, or you, uh-oh, I shouldn't have said anything. Do you find yourself trying to react with defensiveness or hostility or submission? Or they doing that? Cringing, blaming, whining, all that kind of adolescent stuff. That's an indication, it's a test. can you apply the 3-day rule? In other words, resolve everything, every issue that comes up within 3 days of its arrival. Can you do that with the other person? When they cool down, a lot of times they can discuss stuff. Maybe not at the moment. But if you can resolve it within 3 days, hopefully before you go to bed at night, or before you eat a big meal, because that stuff, the meal stuffs emotions down in there. When you go to sleep, stuff down into your unconscious mind, and you don't have the same poignancy, the same intensity. If you cannot get past the tests, even though you hold your resonance, you know that person's not right for you. They can't handle stepping up to the light, being responsible for themselves. If that person seems to satisfy all your needs, and or other needs that you have all of a sudden seem uninteresting, danger. That's a fantasy relationship. Is the person open and free and allowing of you and able to enjoy you? Or are they possessive and jealous, clingy, demanding, manipulative, putting pressures and demands on you that are really unreasonable? This is codependency. When the communication has to shut down, and when you have to keep giving them all sorts of attention and placating them and making it nice for them while you get ignored. Is that what's required? Is there a price to pay? So that's not what you're looking for. If you hold your resonance, but they still respond like that, you will naturally fall apart. Is one much more older than the other, or seemingly more mature or wise, or is the teacher of the other one? You don't want a parent-child dynamic in a relationship. This will blow everything. And a lot of most relationships that get messed up, you'll take various roles. At times you will lean on the other one and they will be the parental. Their issues, their stuff will determine the relationship. At other times you will think that you have to parent them or change them or mother them. Probably the most typical is the mother little boy setup in traditional relationships, where the woman sees love as mother love, taking care of other people and stuff like that. Love is not mother love. Yeah, that is one form of adult love. But a spiritual adult will not do mother love or father love or parental love on the other person. That's not right, because that makes the other person a child. Makes them dependent, opens up codependency. Nor do you wish to be in the child position and look for somebody who's going to take care of you. So you don't have to be responsible for something. Be aware of that. The parent-child dynamic is a killer of relationships. Never works. You can see it starting to happen if your lover puts you on a pedestal. Danger, danger, red flag, red flag, red flag. Come down off that pedestal right away. And don't put them up there either. It's an equal relationship between two light beings. Are external forms present, like the right house, the right situation, the right job, the right mission, the right, form in the physical manifestation? Everything seems aligned for the two of you to be together and to do this great thing, blah, 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 blah. Is it all seem to be too perfect? Could be. That's caution. Watch out for that. And then the kicker for most people is this your soulmate? Are you destined to be together? So many times that gets people in trouble. Really, a lot of hot water. Why? because very often that type of intense connection is reflective of your darkest parts of you, unprocessed parts of you, of your child, of your adolescent, those deep needs, those deep, deep emotional things bubbling up from the unconscious mind through the subconscious mind are pulling somebody in who's really putting their finger right on that deep place, that wound, let's say. It just seems so right. The temptation is not to think. The temptation is not to be aware. The temptation is just to go blotto. This is destiny. Nothing you can do about it. Yes, all right. I don't have to be responsible now anymore. I can just let it be. This is the way it's supposed to be, and it's all going to be perfect. Be careful of that. It has the same magnetism as what is known as gambling fever. It has that same energy. It just gets you all revved up. Caution, red flag, caution, caution, alert, alert, alert. Keep thinking, keep feeling, keep being who you are, keep your consciousness about you. Most people who are doing some major amount of light work in their lifetime are probably not going to be with their romantic soulmates. A lot of people are very disappointed when they hear that. But you see, if you really are with your love soulmate, and you do have that on the other side, where you are most of the time, between lifetimes, quote unquote, or beyond the life, physical life experience, the you that's there, working from the other levels, has the great love all the time. You see, and so if you are looking for that, very often, what it would mean in physical terms, in your child and your adolescent and your young adult would all just go gaga and blotto, and it would just be so totally distracted by it, you couldn't get anything else done. You have a lot of stuff you wanted to do this lifetime. This is a big lifetime. This is a good opportunity to wrap up all the cycle of births and deaths and step into your divine nature and into your immortality. This lifetime has that opportunity you haven't had before. So we want to emphasize to you that don't feel miserable if you don't have a soulmate. You may have a soulmate in a friend. You may have a soulmate in your business partner. But you may not have one in your romantic relationship, because you may only want to, in true adolescent fashion, just, you know, sit there eye to eye and moon all day on, the love is so wonderful. Be in each other's arms all day long. Oh, this would be so great. You won't get your spiritual work done. So don't look for your destiny partner, your soulmate. Create a great love, yes. But it is one in which you are a great lover, a great being of light. And so it's really a call for your own love and your own light to shine. That's what it's really about. All right, we're going to take a break. And during this break, think about these preparatory steps. Are you ready? What do you want from a relationship? Your child, adolescent, young adult needs? What are your resistances to a great love? Look at your child, your adolescent, your young adult again. What are their resistances? Are you willing to let these go? Are you willing to let go of the past? Are you willing to imagine and to live on a day-to-day basis a healthy love relationship? Are you willing to be yourself regardless? Think about that. We're going to have a break of 20 minutes. And when you come back, we will hear your questions. So have a question for us. This is where you and we write this relationship workshop together, right? And then after the question and answers, there'll be another brief break, and then we will explain the ritual to you just briefly, and then we'll do the ritual with you. All right, so for now, farewell.